Father, as the psalmist speaks of afflictions, Lord, we all understand what that's all about. Because all of us, Lord, have experienced your correction in our lives. But we pray that today you'll help us to understand the purpose for the afflictions more completely and more fully. And not to see them, Lord, as a curse or something that is to be avoided. But Lord, help us with the psalmist to realize that it's been good for me to be afflicted, because then I learned your statutes. And so, Lord, teach us now as we turn to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we will be studying the 119th Psalm, verses 65 through 120. And so we encourage you to read over this portion of the 119th Psalm, and then join with us at 7 o'clock tonight as we gather together again to worship the Lord and to learn His precepts, His ways, His commandments, His statutes, His laws. And so, great opportunity to get into the Word of God tonight as we continue our journey through the Bible. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 71 that we just read, where the psalmist proclaimed, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Verse 65 begins this particular section of the psalm, the text. And in verse 65, the psalmist said, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word." He is acknowledging that what God has done has been good. "You've dealt well with me, Lord. What you have done is good." The acknowledgement that God is good. And good in the fact that He does bring affliction upon us. So the psalmist saw his afflictions as the hand of God dealing with him. We generally look at afflictions and see them as some kind of a sign of God's not caring, or God's lack of love, or God's forsaking us. But in reality, the opposite is true. It's often a sign that God does love me and has not forsaken me. We read that whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And so the psalmist does confess, "Before I was chastened, I went astray." There are different forms by which God's afflictions are put upon us. Sometimes God uses sickness in order to deal with us. This seemed to be how God had to deal with Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle, probably one of his natural strengths was his strong will. Paul was a very strong-willed man. Paul could not have gone through all of the things that he suffered and experienced in his preaching of the gospel if he did not have such a strong will. We remember when he and Barnabas were getting ready to take their second missionary journey, that Barnabas was wanting to take his nephew, John Mark, with them. On the first missionary journey, they had taken John Mark, but he had deserted them when they headed over to Asia, leaving the island of Cyprus, and so Paul did not want to take him on the second journey. And so the contention became so great between them that Paul took Silas and headed on over to Asia, whereas Barnabas had to take John Mark, and they went their separate ways. And it's Paul's very strong will. He's not going to give in on this issue. He's convinced John Mark should not go with us, so much so that he's willing to split company with Barnabas over it. But that was Paul's nature, very strong will. But many times, our natural strengths become our greatest problems in our Christian life. Because I may have a natural strong will, then God has to deal with that in very strong measures in order that He might bring my will into submission with His. And thus with Paul, God had to use sickness in order to deal with his strong will. So we read that Paul was attempting to take the gospel into Asia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow them to go into Asia. How did the Lord stop Paul from going into Asia? Paul became so sick that he couldn't travel. And so that's the way the Lord had to stop him, getting him just so sick he couldn't go. But that's because he had such a strong will. He was determined, that's where I'm going to go. But God had to stop him. Paul spoke of his oft infirmities. Though through this, through his sicknesses, he learned the abundant grace of God. For he asked the Lord to remove this affliction. And the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. And so God used that weakness, that affliction, in order that Paul might learn to trust in the strength of the Lord and not in his own strength. He learned through this affliction the all-sufficient grace of God. And thus, Paul was able then to write of this wonderful grace of God. And we today are blessed as we understand through Paul's writings the all-sufficient grace of God. But it took Paul's weakness, Paul's sicknesses as an affliction in order that the purposes of God might indeed be accomplished in his life, in order that he might learn more about God's all-sufficient grace. Many times, affliction takes it comes in disappointment. We have made our own plans without taking the Lord into consideration. And we're all excited. This looks to be such a good deal. Like Joshua with the Gibeonites, we take stock of the victuals, but we don't bother to inquire of the Lord, and we're about to just really get busted bad. And so God closes the deals. God shuts the doors. And we find ourselves complaining to God and saying, Lord, why would you do that? And here I was, you know, going to be rich and all of this and all. And the door is shut. And we are so disappointed. But then we discovered that it was a whole fraudulent kind of a scheme that we were being drawn into. And we have to say, Lord, sorry, you know. All of the complaining and all. And Lord, you were protecting me. And oftentimes God does afflict us with disappointments in life. When we are going astray, the Lord holds us back from that which we perceive to be a good deal. God oftentimes uses domestic problems with other people. I'm sure He's never with you. But the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. We sometimes become very careless in our relationships with our spouse. So many men have come to us and they've been told by their wives to get out of the house. They no longer love them, nor are they even interested in trying to make a go of the marriage any longer. And so as we begin to talk to the husband, he confesses that he wasn't a good husband. That there were times when he just did not show love to his wife. There were those times when he would just take off and he didn't want her to even question as to where he was going or why he was gone so long. And he was just very cold and indifferent. But now he learned, and now he knows, she said, get out, and please call her, Chuck, and tell her I've changed, I'm going to be different and all. And that oftentimes is the opportunity in affliction for God to really deal with us. And we can say, it was good for me that I was went astray. I went away from what God said I should be as a husband. And that was good because then I learned God's statutes. Sometimes afflictions take the form of financial reverses. It's possible that our financial success has taken us away from our walk with the Lord. That we were beginning to stray from close fellowship with God. We began to trust in the uncertainty of riches rather than trusting in the Lord. And like the Laodicean church, we had become lukewarm in our relationship with the Lord. Or like the Ephesian church, we had left our first love. And the things that we now are able to purchase and have sort of distracted us and taken us away from that close walk that we have with the Lord. And so God will use affliction by stripping us, allowing our investments to go bad, allowing us to really become almost in a bankrupt position, losing these things in order that we might again get focused upon the Lord and upon the things of the Lord. And so God uses many different ways by which He gets our attention. Afflictions. It was good for me that I was afflicted, the psalmist confessed, because then I learned your statutes. And so we find that God has a purpose in allowing afflictions in our life. Number one is to keep us from going astray, to bring us back into the path of righteousness, walking close with the Lord. If you are experiencing affliction in your life today, perhaps God is calling you back to where you once were in a close relationship with Him. He's using the affliction to get your attention so that He can show you your need of relying completely upon Him. God uses affliction to keep us from destroying ourselves. So many times we venture out in things that are dangerous for our spiritual future and our spiritual walk. And so God will use affliction to stop us, to turn us around, to get us back on the right path rather than the path of destruction. The Bible says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that way is death. And so to get me off of that path of destruction, God will bring affliction into my life in one form or another in order to turn me away from self-destruction. God uses afflictions as a method of teaching me His way. Again, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. How often it's in the affliction that God teaches us some of those important lessons of life. He brings to our attention His laws, His commandments, and it's so important for us to learn these lessons that God will allow affliction, if necessary, as a schoolmaster, you might say, as a teacher, to get us to learn the things we need to know to have a successful walk with Jesus Christ. We touched earlier on family breakups. God said, as far as family relationships, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And if you are not loving your wife that way, maybe there will come that split in the relationship. But God is allowing that in order that you might learn to love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. With the wife, God said, submitting yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And maybe the reason why he's walked out and he's upset is because you're fighting him at every turn. Every decision he makes is being challenged. And you need to learn to submitting unto him as unto the Lord. And so God is using these things to teach us these invaluable statutes that he has established for our lives. The messed up situation that you find yourself in. The loss of your resources may be God's means of teaching you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not to lean to your own understanding, but in all of your ways to acknowledge Him that He might direct your path. What valuable lessons we learn through affliction. I think of Jonah. And that valuable lesson that Jonah learned as the result of his affliction. We read in Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about, and all of your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, and yet I will look again unto thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, and the depths closed me in. Seaweed was wrapped around my head, and yet you have brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, my soul had fainted within me, when I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto you. And then Job tells us the important lesson that he learned by this affliction. He calls it an affliction. And this is the lesson I learned. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. That is such an important lesson. And Jonah needed to learn that lesson. But he learned it a hard way. And there are easy ways to learn and there are hard ways to learn. And I would highly recommend that you take the easy way to learn rather than the hard way to learn. You don't want to learn that kind of a lesson in the belly of a fish, you know, or a belly of a whale, whatever kind of fish it was. That's no place to learn the lesson, thinking you're in hell. The whale's a mammal. The temperature is about 98 degrees. Humidity would be horrendous. Waves slashing over. The thing is sounding. And I imagine he was seasick the whole while and just miserable. The thing that really amazes me in the story of Jonah was after 3 days Jonah prayed. You see, he was so stubborn. He was just sitting there pouting for 3 days saying, no way, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. No way, you know. Well, you want to be stubborn? You can learn the hard way. But God would rather teach us in just the classroom of experience rather than by affliction, but sometimes it's necessary. Now, you see, the lesson, they that observe lying vanities. Job was observing a lying vanity. Twice in chapter 1, he said that he was trying to escape from the presence of God. He thought if he could get to Tarshish, he could get away from God's presence. You can't escape the presence of God. David said, you know, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I descend into hell, lo, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and I flee to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there you surround me. So it's a lying vanity to think that you can escape from the presence of God. Another lying vanity was that he thought that he could run from the call of God. You can't run from the call of God. The callings of God are without repentance. And he thought that he could actually run from the call of God. Third lying vanity that he was observing was that he thought he knew best for his own life. He knew better than God. God said, go to Nineveh. No way, that's not good. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'll head for Tarsus. And so he thought that he could improve on God's plan. He knew better what was best for him. And thus, these lying vanities, they got him into all kinds of misery, and that's what he is saying. If you are observing a lying vanity, then you're making it tough on yourself, because you're going to miss the mercies and the goodness of God when you choose to go your own way. So they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. You make it tough on yourself. In verse 75, the psalmist went on to say, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. He looked at the affliction as God's faithfulness towards him. You just did not let me destroy myself. You just did not let me, Lord, go in that path of destruction, but in faithfulness, Lord, your faithfulness to me, you stopped me. You brought the afflictions that put me back on the right path. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It is good for me that I was afflicted, the psalmist said, and now, Lord, in your faithfulness, you have afflicted me. God loves you too much to let you get by with evil. Now, I know that others around you get by with it. Fellas on the job are cheating, they're stealing, they're taking stuff from work and so forth. And you may say, you know, that guy is blasphemous. He is just, you know, foul-mouthed, and he has no thought or regard for God and no desire for God. And look at him, he's, you know, stealing stuff all the time and getting by with it. And you might think, wow, you know, I could use this tool at home and put it in your lunchbox, but be sure you're going to get caught. You see, God's not going to let you get by with it. You say, that's not fair. This guy, he's a, you know, miserable rat. And he gets, no. You see, God lets you get caught because you're his child. And he won't let you get by with it, though others may be able to get by with these things. He'll not let you get by with it because he's faithful. And so the psalmist sees the faithfulness of God in affliction, in letting me get caught, though the others might, you know, get by with it. He won't let you get by with it because you're his child. And he deals with you as a child. God is faithful. They're not his children. You are. And if you do get by with it, you better be worried, because God disciplines his own children. Job's friend Eliphaz said to him, behold, happy is the man that God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Lord or the affliction. Happy is the man that God corrects. Why? Because God won't let me get by with things that will ultimately destroy me. He won't let me get by on going astray, taking that path that's going to lead me further away from Him. He will bring His chastisement to keep me back on the right way. Solomon said to his son, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." The writer of the book of Hebrews picks up on what Solomon said to his son. And in Hebrews 12:5 he said, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, declaring, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and will spank His own son. If you endure chastening, God is dealing with you as with a son. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you are without chastisement, it means you are not a son. Furthermore, we've had fathers after our flesh which corrected us, and we are in subjection to them. Shall we not much more be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few years chastened us as they thought best, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. For no discipline seems pleasant at the present time. It's painful. Nevertheless, in time, it will yield the beautiful fruit of righteousness in our lives if we will accept it." Affliction. God so often uses it to teach us His ways, to bring us back to His path in order to show His faithfulness to you. Have you ever afflicted your child with a spanking or a scolding, or perhaps by depriving them of something that they desired? If you haven't, keep your kid away from me. Because I can guarantee they're the worst brat you've ever seen. It's necessary to discipline our children. We know that. And if we didn't, they wouldn't survive. In the disciplining, in afflicting them with a swat or whatever, in afflicting them, is it because you hate them? Or is it because you love them? If they are beginning to do things that are dangerous, can bring pain or death. For instance, if they have a habit of just running into the street without stopping and looking in both directions. Or if they have a habit of pulling away from you in a parking lot and start running across the parking lot. You know the danger. You know that it could bring death. And so you afflict them in one way or another in order to protect them from being destroyed. It's not because you hate them. It's because you love them. And when God afflicts us, it's not a sign that God has forsaken us or God hates us or whatever. It is a sign that God loves us and He's stopping us from some self-destructive act, something that would take us away from the right path, something that would remove us from fellowship with Him. And so we read, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep His word." God used the affliction to bring me to obedience to His word. "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn His statutes." He understands it was for my benefit. It was good for me that God stopped me, that I might learn His statutes. For in faithfulness, because of His love, because of His concern, God afflicted me. If you are going through some kind of affliction now, God is perhaps seeking to get your attention. It's possible that you're taking a wrong turn, that you're going astray, and God is wanting to bring you back to the right path. Maybe there are lessons that you need to know that are so vital for the future, and God is getting your attention in order that you might learn not to trust in yourself, but to trust in the Lord fully and completely. And so, if you might be experiencing affliction, I would encourage you to just sort of stop and say, Lord, I know that You are faithful in Your affliction. If I'm straying, Lord, show me Your path. Lead me in Your way. And Lord, if there are lessons I need to learn, help me, Lord, to be open and to learn those lessons. And you will find that you with the psalmist will say, oh, God was so faithful. He would not let me get by with something that was wrong, but He brought me back unto Himself. Thank you, God, for the afflictions. Thank you for loving me enough to discipline me when I was going astray. Father, we do thank You today that You are indeed faithful unto us, and You will not let us go astray, Lord, but You bring those reminders to us, those things that sort of get our attention and cause us, Lord, to get back on the right path. I pray, Father, for those today that are going through hardships, afflictions of some sort or another. And I pray today, Lord, that this will be that day in which they wake up to the fact that they've taken a wrong turn, that they are going away from You rather than toward You, that their relationship has become rather lukewarm. And Lord, You're seeking to draw them back to that first love, that fervency that they once had. May we be open, Lord, to hear Your voice. And may we be obedient, Lord, to the work of Your Spirit within our lives. And Lord, let the pain and the suffering accomplish, Lord, Your purposes and Your work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.